From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of March 6, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks for joining us. And the PDGA National Tour got kicked off in style last weekend in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the Memorial, presented by Discraft. We've got tons of results coming up from that. Plus, nothing breeds confidence quite like success, but if you're having trouble finding neither, well, sports psychologist Dr. Betsy Schoenfeldt returns. She's going to help you understand the dynamics of confidence and how you can get some more. Professional disc golfer Chris Sprague is here. He's going to talk about how he targets his drives. That in the 60-second clinic. And we've got a preview for you of the upcoming Pro World Doubles Championships in Texas. It is all on the way on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
The 2006 PDGA National Tour got kicked off in style this past weekend in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the Memorial, presented by Discraft. And oh my, what an event it was! 62 Masters, 14 Open Women, another 12 Master Women, 98 Open Players, and a ton of others. And a, whew, talk about a massive purse. Okay, here we go. Some results, beginning with the Masters. Now, the previous week in Vegas, Dan O'Ginley lost to Brad Hammack by two strokes. This time, he only lost by one single throw. He and Harold Hampton tie up for second place. Brad Hammack is your winner by a single throw in the Masters division. To the women division, and as we said, a ton of them were there. And Catherine Manley, a young pro, comes out looking strong in round one, but here comes Angela Shikfree of Iowa. She is going to be the eventual winner by one over Leslie DeMarc, who takes second place. Catherine Manley and Valerie Jenkins tie up for third. Juliana Korver, by the way, took fifth. And now in the open division, Ken Climo comes out and says, I am still the man. He's got the lead after the first round. David Felberg right behind him. But then things get all mixed up and crazy. And here comes Barry Schultz, a humongous second round. He never looks back. Barry Schultz, in the prime of his disc golfing powers, is going to win this one by four over Chris Sprague. He takes second place. Josh Antown will take third. David Felberg in fourth. Kenny Climo takes fifth. And that is how it went down in Scottsdale, Arizona at the Memorial. Time now for the 60-second clinic. So it's time for you to drive. It's a tough hole. It's a long hole. How do you visualize what you want your drive to do? For example, do you visualize your disc hitting the landing zone that you've got in mind? Or do you think about maybe a spot in space? Or do you think about something in the middle of the fairway between you and your target and you want to get your disc past that? What is your game plan here? Well, we put that question to professional disc golfer Chris Sprague.
The way I would line up my drive to throw would be to pick a point in the distance that I want to throw through. I want to not necessarily halfway between me and that point. I don't care if the point is 100 yards away or 300 yards away, as long as I know that I want the disc to penetrate through that area and then finish its flight however it's going to finish. So if I need to throw a large turnover left or right, I need to pick a point off to the left that I know if I throw it towards that point, it's eventually going to, you know, obviously break and finish its flight. But if I hit that point, it'll be the right line. So I always pick a point in the distance, definitely.
Professional disc golfer Chris Sprague finished in second place last week at the Memorial National Tour event.
Hi, this is Dave Felberg, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, one of our most requested guests returns. She is sports psychologist Dr. Betsy Schoenfeldt. She joins us on occasion to talk about the mental aspects of disc golf, and our topic this time is confidence.
Dr. Betsy Schoenfeldt, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's always good to be here.
Hope your winter has been good. Well, it's probably been a little warmer than yours. We're down here in the sunny south. It's in the 70s today.
And Kentucky is a fine place to be at the beginning of March.
It is.
We're going to talk about confidence, and I would like to know from you, certainly, not only what confidence is, but what builds confidence and what disrupts confidence.
Well, confidence really is just that belief that you can succeed in a given situation or you can succeed with a particular task. And there's several different things that lead to confidence. In a very general sense, the biggest builder of confidence is success. Nothing succeeds like success. So one of the things we want to do in terms of building confidence is set ourselves up for success experiences. Think about what's your best opportunity here to be successful, and unless you're intentionally taking a risk, then do those things. Particularly for a new golfer, you might think in terms of those baby steps. You might want to lay up at a water hazard rather than just trying to get the disc across, even though there's very little likelihood that it would happen. But as we gain success in those experiences, then it builds that confidence, and that confidence actually sets us up for greater challenges that we'll be able to succeed at.
So you're saying to build confidence, we need to look at our own definition of success. For one player, it might be, if I don't win this tournament, I'm not successful. For another player, it might be, if I can get past this water hazard without losing my disc, I was successful.
I think you've hit upon it, Brian, because perception is a key in terms of building confidence. It's what we tell ourselves about the situation, both in terms of how we evaluate it, whether it is a success experience for us, and also what we tell ourselves about what can we do to be successful in this situation, focusing on those things we can do rather than those things that we can't do. It goes back to that old concept of self-talk, what we're telling ourselves about the situation. And confident athletes, confident golfers, learn to respond optimistically to situations. They look at what they can do, and if there is an error, they treat that as something temporary. They interpret that as, this is not typical of my performance. This is just something that happened on this shot or this hole, and next shot or next hole, it's not going to happen again. And confident athletes view success as very permanent and indicative of their true ability. When they succeed, they say, yes, that's the real me, and that tends to build that confidence.
We have our self-talk, and that's something that you've been bringing up to us almost every time we talk. We know self-talk is important. What else is important in building our confidence?
Well, there's several things that we want to consider. One goes back to the mind-body connection. We've talked before about how if we're thinking about failure, if we're anticipating failure, if we become anxious and nervous, it tends to make our muscles tense, and if the wrong muscles are tense at the wrong time, or even if the right muscles are tense at the wrong time, it disrupts our coordination and our timing. So if we recognize that those thoughts do interact with our body, and that we need to control our thoughts, and also with the relaxation techniques, control our body, that's going to increase confidence as well. If we feel calm, cool, and collected, ready to perform, then we're going to be more confident in our ability to perform. We also have to be honest about what we are telling ourselves. Are you really thinking in a way that's going to give you the best chance for success? For some athletes, the worst opponent is within themselves in the form of the self-criticism or self-doubt that causes negative self-talk. So if you approach a water hazard, let's say, for example, and you're trying to say, I'm totally confident I can get this disc across this water hazard, but you look in your hand and it's your new disc that you really are fond of, and you say, maybe I better just put this disc up, you know, and pull out that old ragged disc because it's probably going in the water, then you're not being real honest about what you're telling yourself. Now, that's different than saying to be unrealistic in what you're capable of doing, but you want to realistically appraise your ability and then be confident about it. If you're a golfer and you approach a water hazard that you know 5 times out of 10 you're going to miss and the disc is going to land in the water, then you probably should lay up. Then you can be confident about laying up. You have the success experience of laying up. If, on the other hand, you think realistically, I've got a decent shot of getting this across and I want to take that risk, then you can go ahead and do it. But you really have to be honest with yourself in terms of what you're telling yourself. One way to assess this, there's a technique that you can use. You can get something, say like a box of paper clips or some other object like that, and empty that entire box of paper clips into your right pocket before you go out on the golf course.
Okay.
Then each time you're on the course and you catch yourself engaging in negative self-talk, switch one of those paper clips to the other pocket. then at the end of the round, see how many times you've caught yourself engaging in negative self-talk. Things like, what a terrible lie that is. I can't get this shot even if I, you know, stood on my head, or that shot just blew the whole round. All of those things would be considered negative self-talk, and they damage your confidence. Another thing that you can do in terms of promoting confidence is what we as sports psychologists call an optimistic explanatory style.
Okay, and you're going to have to explain that to me.
I thought that might be the case. Once you throw out this term, you know, just think how intimidating that is when your opponent comes up and says, Brian, why are you doing so well? You go, well, I've got an optimistic explanatory style. This is just simply the way you respond to events on the golf course or in life in general. But how do you take both the bad and good events? Do you have kind of the rose-colored glasses where you say, okay, what is the good in this situation? Sports, golf in particular, are going to involve setbacks, obstacles, and disappointments, and you have to respond optimistically if you're going to retain your confidence. So again, you treat those errors as temporary, specific to that one shot, specific to that one round, and atypical of your potential, and you treat those successes as more permanent, that, you know, I am a good golfer and I can accomplish this. So if you kind of think in terms of what's the best case scenario and what are the good things about this situation, it's going to help boost your confidence. And then finally, you just kind of have to go for your dreams, focus on your successes. At every practice or competition, even if you feel like this wasn't a particularly good round, think, what were the good things that happened in this round? Or where did I put forth a great deal of effort? Maybe the execution didn't come off as I planned, but where was I really exerting a good level of effort? And if you keep that, perhaps even in a journal, then you can learn from that and be more successful on the course. In essence, what you want to do is be your own best friend. Promote yourself, think in terms of the positive outcomes that might happen, and talk to yourself the way you would talk to your best friend about your round. Now, you might be saying, well, how is that going to help? I'm asking the questions here. Now you're saying, how is that going to help me improve my game if I'm not being realistic and just being Miss Pollyanna or whatever on the golf course? Well, I think during competition, when you're really in need of being as confident as you can, you want to focus on these things. We have an expression that we use in sports psychology that says, analyze after your shoes are off. After your round of golf, go back, as we've talked about before in some of our interviews, go back, review the round, think about the times when you performed really well and reinforce those even through imagery, and think about the times when you were dissatisfied with your performance. What was it that you needed to change in your execution? And then you can even use imagery there to improve that. But by doing that after the round, you'll maintain your confidence during the competition. And you're sitting down specifically to analyze and improve your performance. If you start that analysis on the golf course, start that doubt on the golf course, it's going to damage your confidence.
That makes perfect sense to me. And I have two questions specific to confidence that I would like to ask you. And the first has to do with, well, you had mentioned, you know, be honest with yourself. Well, what about those occasions when I'm trying to be as confident as I can, and I come out before the round and I say, this is going to be the best round of my life. But inside, I know it's kind of false bravado. I'm just trying to build myself up. Is that going to be helpful, do you think, or harmful?
If, as you're saying, you're telling yourself, I'm going to build myself up, but I know it's false bravado, that's not going to help you very much. It goes back to, again, realistically assessing the situation and saying, given this situation, whether it's a good situation, an average situation, or maybe a really difficult situation, given this situation, what's the best thing that can happen? What are the things that I can accomplish? And that will boost your confidence, because then you can focus on things that you really do believe that you can get done. So, for example, when we talk about that water hazard, if it's a serious competition and you're doubting whether you can get it over, then you may be better off laying up because you're confident that you can lay up. So if you think in terms of what can I do in this situation, then you're going to be much more confident and you're probably going to be much more successful.
How do you believe having fun affects confidence?
Well, that kind of just goes to being excited about the things that you're doing and going for your dreams and just enjoying it. If it's work, then it becomes a job, and perhaps for a few professional disc golfers, it really is a job. But you have to remember that this, you're really out there to enjoy it. It's a great sport. You're outdoors, and you should be having a good time. And if you find that you're not enjoying it, you probably need to sit back and do some of that analysis of what's wrong with this picture. Why am I not having a good time? And, you know, once you do that, I was going to say it may be your company, the company you're keeping. But once you realize it, if it's a technique problem, a mechanics problem, maybe you need to talk to an instructor, a golf pro, and get some tips for that. But if it's a matter of you beating yourself up, doubting yourself, then that's really something that you can control through self-talk and really get out and enjoy the game more. Confidence really is the result of consistently constructive thinking processes that allow the golfer to do two things. One, to really hang on to and really benefit from their success experiences, and to let go of or de-emphasize those less successful experiences. So athletes can gain confidence by selectively screening and interpreting those experiences. So again, it goes back to that perception, which is the key to confidence. You need to believe in yourself.
Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld, I am confident that our listeners are looking forward to your next visit to the show later this spring.
Well, thanks, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld is a sports psychologist on faculty at Western Kentucky University in Bowling Green. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. You know, having confidence is great and all, but sometimes what can give you the most confidence is knowing that somebody has got your back. And if you're that type of player, we've got something right up your alley. It is the Professional World Doubles Championships coming up a couple of weekends from now in Wimberley, Texas. The tournament director for this one, as always, is Rappin' John Houck.
The PDGA World Doubles actually started as the PDGA National Doubles back in 1991. That was back in beautiful Round Rock at Old Settlers Park, and we had it there for, I think, about 10 years. Unfortunately, Old Settlers put the disc golf course in before everything else, and as time went on, they were putting in hike and bike trails and planting memorials and things like that that made it very difficult to put two courses in there, and we even had to give up a lot of the best holes on the original course. So we had a good run at Round Rock. We eventually moved it out to Circle R at Wimberley, which is where it is today. We have two beautiful courses there. And in between, over the last 5 years, pros and ams at times have also been at Circle R2 in San Saba. Sad to say, Circle R2 is no longer with us. But Circle R is a great place to play disc golf. A little dry these days, but we're looking forward to another great year. Well, we're certainly expecting the defending champs to come back in the open division. They have one of the best team names in the history of the event. That would be Hatfield and McCoy. Coda Hatfield, who is very young and one of the big up-and-comers, along with Kevin McCoy, who has continued to establish himself even more so over the last couple of years. So, and they are from neighboring Oklahoma. We do expect to see them, along with the defending master champions, who are also from Oklahoma. That would be Clint and Mitch McClellan, the Mighty Brother team. And, wouldn't you know it, the Grandmaster champions came from Oklahoma as well, and we're going to see them again this year. That's Jack Wilson and Brent Edwards. So somebody outside of Oklahoma needs to take those guys down, or who knows, we may see another Okie sweep this year. It's been tough getting women over the years. You know, women, especially pro women, are used to having such small fields, and when you pair everybody up together, the field really is half as big. So it's really been tough to get some good competition there. But what we do have this year for the first time is that Des Redding and Juliana Korver are going to be playing together in the open division. So we do have, looks like, somewhere between 2 and 4 pro women teams who are going to be there, primarily Texas-based. But Des and Juliana will be out there mixing it up with the guys.
John Houck is tournament director for the upcoming Professional World Doubles Championships in Wimberley, Texas on March 18th and 19th.
It's March, and that means there's some spring things already going on in the world of disc golf. For example, the Texas State Doubles Championships this weekend in Round Rock for Ams and Pros. Ams only in Orangevale, California for the St. Paddy's Classic. Another green event, the St. Paddy's Open in SeaTac, Washington this weekend. The Dogwood Crosstown Classic Am Weekend, Zebulon, Raleigh, North Carolina. Don't miss that one, folks. Always a good one. The Secret Squirrel Soiree in Atlanta, another Am event this weekend. In Battle Creek, Michigan, it's the Lumberjack Open. And in Long Beach, California, the Plastic Pilots El Dorado Open. Plus, Tulsa hosting the Green Country Doubles. And in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, it's the Spring Rip It. Go Bears! And if you're looking for any more information, day or night, you can find it. Just head over to the website, pdga.com. And finally this week, I'm not a parent, but I'm beginning to feel like one. And the reason is because I'm having to nag at the beginning of the season quite a bit. And the nag is to make sure you are renewed for the 06 season. If your membership is not current, you need to get that done. Because really, you don't want to wait until you go to your first sanctioned tournament and go to the tournament director and say, oh, I'm not current, can you help me deal with this? And the tournament director's going to look at you and go, man, I'm going to stick you in that group with that one guy who never shuts up. Enjoy that. Now, you don't want to do that. So it's so easy. Just go to the website right now, very front page on the left side, the big button that says Join the PDGA Now. Click that. Get out your credit card, get it taken care of, and you will be renewed, and I can stop feeling like the parent that I'm not. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm really feeling an electricity about the 06 disc golf season. I don't know what it is, but when I do know, you're going to hear about it here on this show. And until that happens, well, we're going to wrap it up for the week. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsor this week, Innova Champion Disc. And until next time, I hope you will get out there, hug some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.